This morning, if you would, take your Bibles and turn with me to the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John, chapter number 1. Usually when you read the Christmas story, you're either reading in Matthew or Luke. But this morning, I want us to read a verse of Scripture in the Gospel of John and think concerning the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ and pray that the Lord will meet the needs that we have as we study His Word this morning. I just want to bring you a message entitled, The Birth of the Word. The Birth of the Word. So if you would stand with me as we read John chapter 1. Read only to begin with one verse, verse number 14. John chapter 1, verse number 14. And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Father, I pray You bless now not only the reading of Your Word, but the preaching of the Word of God today. And we ask You to meet with us in a very special way. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Many do not consider the Gospel of John as giving us the story of the birth of our Savior. As I said a moment ago, most of the time we spend in either Matthew as we read concerning that particular passage, or in Luke giving us the story of the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. But this morning, as we read verse number 14 of John chapter 1, it maybe does not give us the details of the birth of the Savior. It does not tell us about the shepherds, and it does not tell us about the wise men and the manger and all those things that we know about. But I believe it gives us an insight, maybe that's a little more important than even those physical things that we think of as we think about the birth of our Savior. The Bible says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And of course, we know that the Word being made flesh pertains to the birth of Jesus Christ. For all the great wordy Christmas stories that have ever been given and all the things that are said about Christmas, I guess there's nothing any more important than the Word being made flesh, dwelling with mankind. I want us to just sort of look at these words this morning that's of this verse, and we'll look at a few other places as we look into this, but primarily today we'll be right here dividing this verse up and running some other references as we think about the birth of the Word. First of all is the Word. The topic of John's message of what we would call the Christmas story is the Word. And the Scripture says the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. That Word refers, of course, we know, to the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. As we read that, the Word in verse number 1, back in John chapter 1, verse 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word. That sort of sounds like Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was God. Well, John tells us, along with God, was the Word of God. And of course, we know that that Word is none other than Jesus Christ, because that Word was made flesh and He dwelt among men. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word is that which gives expression and tells us ideas. And when you speak words, you're communicating. And of course, God was communicating to us of His will upon mankind. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. What a tremendous statement that is. And we see here of the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ, that the Word was not just a God, but He was God. And He's not a part of God, He is God Himself. And we believe and understand and know that He was not only just a great teacher, certainly He was. He was, some people call Him a mighty miracle worker, and of course we know that He did mighty and many deeds and miracles during His ministry. Some will say that Jesus was nothing more than just a great man, and He was a great man. But far above all those statements, John says that He was the Word of God. That John says He was the Word that was with God in the very beginning, became flesh and dwelt among us. And John tells us that we beheld His glory full of grace and truth. We find here that verse number 2 says the same was in the beginning with God. This Word that was made flesh was in the very beginning with God. Sort of a good commentary upon that verse you'll find in other places of Scripture. And by the way, the best commentary you'll find on the Bible is the Bible itself. And it'll give you many details. It'll give you instruction. But in the book of Proverbs, chapter number 8 and verse 27 through 30, the writer of Proverbs, Solomon, says, "When he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he set a compass upon the face of the depth, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he gave to the sea a decree and the waters should not pass his commandment, when he appointed the foundation of the earth, when I was by him as one brought up with him, I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him." That is Jesus doing the speaking there. And of course we find that as he prepared the heavens, the Lord was there. The Bible tells us in John chapter 1 verse 3, says, "All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made." So not only was he in the beginning, but he was a part of that creative act of God. And we as believers in Christ, we believe in creation. We believe that God didn't just set it in motion, but God created it and God made it out of nothing. And the Scripture says here that all things were made by him. Who is him there? It's the Word. And who is the Word? It's he that was made flesh and now dwells among men. Jesus is that Word. The Bible says in Colossians chapter number 1 and verse number 16 and 17 says, "For by him were all things created, and are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether it be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers." And by the way, in Sunday school this morning we studied what those words mean, and the principalities and the powers and the dominions. All things were created by him and for him, and he is above all things, and by him all things consist. I'm glad this morning that little babe that was laying in a manger wasn't just staying a baby, but he grew to be a man, and he, as far as the physical life is concerned, but even before his birth, everything was created for him and by him, and it all consists and stays in motion and stays in the right spots and the right ways. Why? Because of the power of the Word of God. Hebrews chapter 1, verse number 1 says, "God, who at sundry times in divers manners spake in time past to the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son, who he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom he made the worlds." You could go on and on this morning and give you Scripture after Scripture showing that Jesus Christ, the Word of God, and that Word being active in as the Creator. Verse number 4 of John chapter 1 says, "In him was life, and life was the light of men." He is light and therefore gives the light to all mankind, those that will believe and those that will receive. The Scripture says in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 12, "Giving thanks unto Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness." Thank God this morning, you and I, we better say, we have been delivered from the power of ungodliness and the power of darkness. And the Scripture says that we have been translated or moved to the kingdom of the dear Son of God, who is the Word that was made flesh and dwelt among us. John chapter 8 and verse 12 says, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." And so where God is and where Jesus is, there is no darkness. Where Jesus is and where God is, there is no death. And he is life, and he gives the light of life. And the Scripture says that light that shineth into darkness, and sometimes even the darkness comprehended it not, didn't even understand, didn't even realize. That's the Word that we're dealing with this morning. That's the power of God. That's the Word of God. That's Jesus Christ. As he was in the creative act of the Lord, and as he was there, as everything was set into motion, and even before the foundation of the world was laid, Jesus says, "I was there." He's the Word. Verse number 14 goes on and tells us something about this Word. Was made flesh. That's what we're dealing with primarily in this season which we live. This Christmas, this holiday time. We're thinking about the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. But John says he was the Word from eternity past becoming flesh. Being birthed into a world that despised him and hated him, but yet he was born. And of course, we know from Matthew and Luke that he was laid in the manger, and we know all the details of that, but John just says the Word was made flesh. He was made an individual person. He was made a man like you and I, yet without sin. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." The Word. Isaiah says a child has been born, but more than that, it is the Son that has been given, the Son of God. And it says the government shall be upon His shoulder, and the name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Isaiah knew from the will of God and from the message that God had given him that one day there would be a Messiah that would come. And he says that this child will be born. And he tells us in Isaiah 7:14 that he'd be born of a virgin. We'll deal with that in a moment. But we find here that Isaiah said, we have been given a child, and he is the Son. And John said he is the Word. He is made flesh and he dwells among us. Micah chapter 5 and verse 2 tells us not only was he going to be born, but Micah, the scripture gives us thousands of years, hundreds of years before the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. The prophet Micah said, "But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me he that is the ruler in Israel, whose going forth have been from old, from everlasting." Jesus did not have His beginning when He was born. He just became as a child and took upon Him flesh. And this day, which we call Christmas Day, just around the corner, it's just a few days down the road, and we'll be celebrating Christmas Day. It seems as though it takes, when I was a kid, it seemed like it took forever to get to Christmas. From one Christmas to the other, it had to be 10 years apart because it took so long. But now it doesn't take but just a few days, seems like, from one Christmas to the next. We're looking at it from different viewpoints and different eyes. As a child, we look with anticipation of what we're going to receive and the joy of Christmas and the fun and the festivities of it. And as adult, we look at it from the hustle and the bustle and the paying and the cost and the expense. And it seems though it just doesn't coincide. But the Bible tells us here that Isaiah saw some 700 years before Jesus was born. And he said, a son is going to be born. A child is going to be born and a son going to be given. There's a real emphasis on those two words. You see, Jesus was born as a child. But he was given as the Son of God. That Word that was made flesh. Micah says he's going to be born in Bethlehem. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, "Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation." And here's what he did. He took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And John says he was made flesh. He took upon himself the likeness of men. He took upon himself of no reputation. And he came as a servant. The Bible says then that he was found in fashion as a man. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Philippians chapter 2, verse 7 and 8 gives you the beginning of the Lord here upon the earth, His ministry, His life, and then the end of it in His death. You see, we celebrate Christmas as the giving of the greatest gift of all time, our Savior, the Lord Jesus. We celebrate that time when He was birthed as a child. But thank God He was a Son that was given, and He was a Savior to all those that will believe upon Him. He is the Savior to those that will believe. And we find that John said He was made flesh and He dwelt among us. The Word was made flesh, dwelt among us. And the Bible says here that as He was there and as He dealt and was in dealings with sinful men, yet He was sinless. The Scripture tells us that He walked among the sick and He healed many of those that were sick. He took their frustrations. He took their needs upon Himself. He walked among those in difficulties and among those that was living in unfairness and the rule of those around Him. And yet, He as He dwelled in tents and as He tabernacled among us as the people of God. The Lord has chosen Him to be our Savior, to be our Lord Jesus Christ. He dwelt among us. John said we talked to Him. John gives us first-hand information concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, for he says, we beheld His glory. Everywhere you find things written about our Savior, you'll find the word glory. When He was born, the Bible says that the angels sang glory to God in the highest. You'll find that John says when He was made flesh, we beheld His glory. When He left this world and left this life after His resurrection, He was received up into glory. And so everything dealing with the Lord has to do with glory. But John says, we beheld His glory. We saw His face. We handled Him. We touched Him. John is saying, I'm an eyewitness of who He was. If you want to find out about the Lord Jesus Christ, you read the Gospel of John. It'll tell you about the Lord. He deals with the subject of deity. He deals with the subject of salvation. He deals with the integral parts of the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. John could say, I saw His glory. John could say, I beheld His face and His glory. John said, I saw His miracles. I saw the feeding of the 5,000, the feeding of the 4,000. John said, I saw the raising of Lazarus from the dead, and I saw the sinless work of the Lord and all the glory of His life. John said, I beheld His glory. He was flesh like I was, but yet very different. When others would be unreasonable with the Lord, Jesus was never unreasonable, for He spoke to them. Very few times do you find the Lord lifting His voice or getting ill. He got ill with the money changers and those that had turned His house into a den of thieves. He overturned the tables, but for the most part, the Lord's life was a life of glory and a life of telling and doing for others. The Lord Jesus Christ, you'll find Him many times praying. He said, Father, Thy will be done. We find Him praying, and He prays and He seeks not His own glory, but He seeks the glory of His Father. While others lied and stole and cheated, and Jesus was above reproach. John could say, I saw His glory. In His life, in His ministry, and then John could say, I saw His glory even in His death. In His resurrection, John could understand and John knew that the Lord was made flesh, dwelt among us. John could say that he was an eyewitness of Jesus fulfilling the prophecy of what was given to us in Isaiah chapter 53. John said, I saw the very things that Isaiah told us in Isaiah 53 verse 6, 7 through 9. It says, all we like sheep have gone astray, and we have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed. He was afflicted. John said, I beheld His glory. He said, He opened not His mouth. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and sheep before the shearers is dumb. So He opened not His mouth, and John said, I beheld His glory. I looked upon Him. Isaiah said He was taken from prison and from judgment. Who shall declare His generation? And John was one of those that declared the generation of the Lord. He said, I beheld Him. I looked upon Him. Verse 9 says, He made His grave with the wicked and the rich in His death because He had done no violence. Neither was there any deceit in His mouth. And John said, amen to that. I saw His glory. John said, everything that Isaiah spoke of Him is true. Everything that is given in the Scripture, John said, I beheld it. I looked at His ministry. I watched Him walk. I watched Him talk. I saw what He did. And John came down and said, we just beheld His glory. We saw who Jesus was. He said, He's in creation. He was before He ever came. Jesus said, I am that I am. And we find here that John said, everything that's said about the Lord, he said, we looked at Him. And we beheld Him. John saw the glory of His resurrection and His ascension. Later, John would see the glorified Lord in the Revelation as God gave him those words that we have penned in our Scripture that we call the Revelation of Jesus Christ. And John said, we beheld His glory. the only begotten of the Father. It's very important that we have those words, the only begotten of the Father. He is the only one that has been begotten of God the Father. There's never been anyone like the Lord Jesus Christ, and there never will be anyone after like Him. He is the Savior of all that will believe upon Him. And John said, we watched Him. We beheld His glory. The Word was made flesh. He was born and He was laid in a manger. Yes, we know that and we understand that. But John said, we saw all the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. We beheld what He did and the glory of God that came down upon Him. He tells us here that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld His glory full of grace and truth. We dealt this morning in our Sunday school class concerning grace and mercy. My, when you think about the Lord Jesus Christ, you cannot get away from those words. The mercy of God, the grace of God. And John said, He's full of grace. He's just full of truth. Everything about the Lord Jesus Christ was graceful. Unmerited, undeserved favor giving to mankind. Those feeding of the 5,000, did they deserve that? No. But through His grace and mercy, He did that for them. You and I this morning, do we deserve His salvation? No. But through His grace and mercy, we have it and we've obtained it. And John said, we beheld it. We looked upon Him. He is full of mercy. He was full of grace. He is full of truth. One of the verses in our lesson this morning is Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father except by Me. And John said, we watched Him and He was full of grace. He was full of truth. And we know from the Scripture that He's full of mercy, giving out to those that did not deserve and sometimes did not even want or desire. The unmerited favor of God. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. And John said, we beheld His glory. John said, we looked upon Him, we handled Him, we touched Him. You know, the best witness there is an eyewitness. You don't have the second-hand witness that really gives you all the truth. There's usually something forgotten or added. There's something taken away or put to it. But most of the time, when a person is an eyewitness, they, through their eye gate, it is planted in their mind and they know what they saw. And John said, we beheld His glory. John said, the Word was made flesh. How was it made flesh? It was made flesh by the entrance into this earth, into this world, through the way of the Virgin Mary. The only one that's ever been born like the Lord Jesus Christ. A few years ago, there were those that said, well, we have this artificial insemination and a virgin can become with child, but not without the help of a man, she cannot. And Jesus Christ was born without the aid of a man. He was the Son of God. And John said, we saw Him come into this world. We beheld His glory. We saw what He did. We saw His actions. We saw His deeds. And therefore we know that He is full of grace and truth. What He says is true. What He does is true. Where He stands for truth. And as truth, Jesus tells the world, you must be born again. Full of grace, He has satisfied every truth and every need to be, the sin that needs to be punished is satisfied in the Lord Jesus Christ. He was full of both grace and truth. Psalm 85 verse 10 says, mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. That all found culmination in the Lord Jesus Christ. So when John, and we read these words, when John the Apostle tells us that He came unto His own, and His own received them not. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. He says here that to those that would believe on His name, which are born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. You see, this morning, I had nothing to do with my physical birth. I had nothing to do with that. I'm just a result of a physical birth, and so are you. And I'll tell you what, spiritually, I had nothing to do with my spiritual birth. It's all because of Him. And John says here that He came unto His own. They didn't receive Him, but as many as received Him, to them He became, they could become the sons of God, which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And then He says, we beheld Him, and the Word was made flesh. He was born. He was given to man. He was given to this world. And John said, we looked at Him. We loved Him. We were with Him. And He's full of grace and truth. So I believe John's message of Christmas maybe is far more detailed than some of the others we read in Luke concerning the shepherds that came. It doesn't tell us too much about the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We read in Matthew of the wise men that came sometime later, but we don't see much and we don't hear much out of Matthew concerning the work of our Savior. But John just simply says He was made flesh. And then he tells us what He did. John gives the deal, lets the other two give details concerning the birth and how He was born and where He was and the stable and the manger and the swaddling clothes and all the... John lets those give that. But John said, let me tell you about who He is. Here's where He was born and they've given you all that. But John says, He was the Word. And the Word was in the beginning with God. And not only was He with God, the Word was God. John said, I'm going to go a little bit deeper in the story of what we would call Christmas. It is the God of heaven that has come down for you and I. And the Bible says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, who John says is the Word that was in the beginning and was the Word from then on, and here's what He's done. If you're here today without the Lord Jesus Christ, He came to offer eternal life to every individual if you will but believe. You and I that are saved this morning, I think we can sort of identify with John because, oh, we're not first-hand recipients, but we have pretty good evidence here what happened. We have the Word of God that reveals to us, and John said, here's who He was, and here's what He did. So therefore, we can believe it because we have the testimony of an eyewitness. So therefore, I can say, well, John said He was the Word, and John said He came and dwelt among us, and John said He beheld His glory, and later on, John said, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And John goes on and tells us that if we don't believe, we're condemned already. We've got the eyewitness telling us who the Word is. I ask you this morning, have you ever met the Word of God? I'm not talking about the written Word. I'm talking about the Word. The person of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of all that will believe. The Savior of those that will call upon Him and trust Him as their Lord Jesus Christ. Has the Word made an impression upon you? Has the Lord touched your heart? Has the Lord made you a new creature in Christ? I don't know of a better time than to know the Lord than now. For today is the day of salvation. I don't know of a better season than it would be in. And as we think about the birth of the Savior, we think about the new birth of a child, birth into the family of God. So many people, to and fro, they run. And these next few days, we have just about seven, eight days, maybe 9 days before Christmas. And as the days draw closer and draw nearer, people become more frantic, they become more hectic in their attitudes, and those that wait to the last minute to go get their gifts. And if we're not careful as believers, we can get caught up in all that and really miss the real reason that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. The seriousness of the Word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. All those Old Testament saints, they had the promise of His coming. They looked for a Messiah. They had the Word that would tell them, the message and the prophets that said, He's coming. He's coming this way. He's going to be born of a virgin. He's coming in this manner, in this place. He's going to be born in Bethlehem. And here's all the details around it, but He's coming. And John said, we beheld His glory. He did become flesh. He was born. And you and I this morning, thank God, we can look upon Him. And as Moses told those children of Israel in the wilderness, those that had been bitten by the serpent, and he put a serpent upon a brass serpent upon a pole, and he said, if you look, ye shall live. Look and live, my brother. Look and live. And you and I this morning, if we look unto Him, we shall live. Why? Because one day He was made flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace, full of truth. Let's stand together this morning.